Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Grace Hour. It's a new week. It's Monday, and we're talking about the anointing, a real great principle in the Bible. And we at Greater Grace, which is the parent organization of the Grace Hour, we take the anointing very seriously, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, something that God gives to believers to help him, move him, and use him in the work of God. So we're going to be discussing that principle throughout the week. We also have a great clip from Pastor Carl Stevens, the founder of the Grace Hour, on Thursday, living in the anointing of the body. And also this week we'll also have a Women's Day on Wednesday. So ladies, with Michelle Benoit and Jasmine, I believe they'll be here to share their thoughts with a emphasis on what being a biblically motivated woman means. So you could be a part of that program this week too. But today, Pastor John Love is in the seat to give the message. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis, and we'd love to give you and lead you in this kind of teaching on the anointing of God. And after Pastor Love is finished, we'll open up the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you today on this topic. 1-800-338-7060, that's a toll-free number throughout North America, and then 410-483-3700, local number here in Baltimore. Maybe you're listening on our radio station, WRBS, Positive Talk 1230, or you're listening on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or any of the other online platforms. Remember, on those places, YouTube Live, Facebook Live, you do have a space where you could make a comment and send that to us. And we use those comments to help us talk about the theme. So thank you for being a part of the program today, wherever you are in the world. And enjoy this message from Pastor Love.
Thanks, Pastor Steve. And great to be with our listening audience for a brand new week of broadcasting. And we're very much excited about this theme, the principle of the anointing. You know, when it comes to just that word alone, the anointing, lots of questions are asked. Lots of confusion exists in the minds of many people. But we would like to talk about it in light of the fact that it's not as much of a mystery as some people assume it might be. In fact, it is something that is a part of every believer's life, and that in and of itself is rather remarkable. Because, of course, in the Old Testament, we understand that the only persons anointed were prophets, priests, and kings. And it was the anointing oil that was poured out over them, which really became the enablement for their service before God. But what was once only available for prophets, priests, and kings is now available to all believers in the body of Jesus Christ, which is an amazing privilege and a great blessing, of course. Now, when it comes to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I think all of us are well aware of the fact that there are three major works of the Holy Spirit. The first one, of course, is the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. And by that we mean, well, Jesus put it this way. He said, the Holy Spirit will come into the world, and he will convict the world of three things. And the first thing he mentioned was he will convict the world of sin. Now, what exactly was that sin? Well, it was the sin of unbelief. So we can see very clearly from that passage in John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, that the Holy Spirit was sent into the world to convict the world of this one sin, unbelief. Maybe you can recall, friends, if you are a child of God, a born-again believer, when that convicting process began in your life. It was the Holy Spirit revealing to you what your need was. You didn't need counseling. You didn't need therapy. You didn't need medication. You needed God. And the Holy Spirit began to prepare and to work on our hearts to bring us to that place where we were ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the second major work of the Holy Spirit. It's the new birth. Jesus, in his incredible conversation with Nicodemus, found in John's Gospel, the third chapter, spoke about the new birth and said, you must be born. He said these words to Nicodemus, who was a religious ruler at that time in history. He said, you must be born of the Spirit. And this, he spoke, of course, of the new birth. Again, does anybody really understand the nature of how the new birth happens? Well, it is a mystery in one sense, but it's a reality that all of us who have experienced it can say, it has happened. It's real. I have been born of the Spirit. And, of course, Nicodemus was puzzled by the whole conversation and wanted to know how it was possible. Jesus used that amazing analogy. He says, you hear the sound of the wind, but you cannot tell from whence it comes and where it goes, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So the new birth takes place. That's the work of the Spirit. And then the third major work of the Spirit is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is to say the Holy Spirit takes each individual believer, and they are, spiritually speaking, baptized, placed in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 13. Now, after these three major works of the Holy Spirit have been completed, have come to pass in our lives, beginning with the convicting work of the Spirit to reveal our need and to reveal our unbelief and how we could go from unbelieving to believing, then we were born of the Spirit in John chapter 3, verse 5, and then baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And really, in one sense, we could say all of these works were just the beginning, because now it's possible that every born-again believer can lead a Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-filled life. And such a life is essential as we function in the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul writing to the Corinthians, and he said to them, now, He, and he's referring to the Spirit, who establishes us with you in Christ, has anointed us, and all this is the work of God. Now think about that. He said that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the prophets, the priests, the kings, each of them anointed for their particular service. Well, every single born-again believer that makes up the body of Jesus Christ, his church, has received an anointing from God. And there are various reasons as to why God has anointed us, not the least of which is a reminder that we belong to God, that we are his possession. We read about this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And the Apostle John, writing about this particular theme and subject in his first epistle. And remember, the background of this epistle was that John was dealing with a group at that time in the history of the church that were called Gnostics, false teachers, communicating a message to the church at large that, well, Christ did not actually come in the flesh. I would say that this was the biggest false teaching that they were propagating, that Jesus did not come in the flesh. They denied the reality of the incarnation, friends. And then they essentially said that every person deep within their souls has a divine spark, and that divine spark would be ignited, if you will, through a particular understanding, a particular way of thinking, their knowledge. And John, when writing and warning believers in different local assemblies, said to these believers in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, he's talking about the Gnostics. He said, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, if they had been indeed born of the Spirit, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And then he says in verse 20, but you, in contrast to them, these Gnostics and Gnostic teachers, you have an unction, or you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. Oh, we're not to misunderstand what John is saying there, that we possess all knowledge. He was saying that the Spirit of God gives us the spirit of discernment. And that is so important for us to remember. In the same second chapter in verse 27, he says, but the anointing which you have received of him, it abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but that same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is not a lie. And even that hath been taught in you, and you will abide in him. Again, when he is making a reference here to no man needs to teach you, he's not denying the reality that we need pastors and teachers in our local assemblies. That's not what he was addressing. He was talking specifically about these unregenerate Gnostic teachers. You do not need a natural man teaching you, because you have the anointing of the Spirit who is able to teach you. So clearly, based upon what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 1:21, and here John speaking very clearly of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit gives us this great discernment. In the same first epistle of John, in the 4th chapter, he encourages these believers and reminds them in verse 1, he says, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test or try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that is the Spirit of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist. And how would these believers be able to discern between the two? Between that which is true and that which is false? Through the anointing of the Spirit. So the anointing allows us to discern the truth from error. I remember on a missions trip once to another country, our young people gathered, and we were visiting a local assembly in that country. And we were invited to come to this church, and we accepted the invitation. We all went. Our young people, very respectful, they brought their Bibles. Many of them brought their notebooks. And then once the message began, you could just sense that our young people were discerning something. Something wasn't quite right. The message was not a message that was breaking the yoke of bondage. Now remember, Isaiah, the 10th chapter, the 27th verse, it reminds us that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. In other words, we can discern between a message that is finished work in its orientation and a message that is not the finished work message. We can discern between a message that is grace as opposed to a message that is legalistic in its character and nature. And how do we have such discernment? It's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, we have been anointed. I know there are some who believe, well, the anointing is just a special thing that happens for certain individuals, special individuals. Only pastors can have it, only teachers. No, it's not true, friends. Every one of us has an anointing. Now, we want to say at the same time that not every anointing in each case with each believer is the same. In other words, the anointing for one will be different for the anointing in another. And some will have an anointing to build up and edify other believers. They'll have an anointing for the purpose of edifying other believers. Some will have another gift that's given to them by the Holy Spirit. But all of us should understand, identify what those gifts and abilities are that have been given to us through this anointing of the Holy Spirit. And again, this anointing enables us to serve others. And again, you know that the anointing is present when we're serving, not as dictators, not telling others what they should do, but as servants, helping others to grow in their faith. You see, the many false teachers had invaded the Corinthian church and were guilty of being very, very much like dictators. Paul wrote about them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And they actually, their intent was to turn the hearts of the people away from the Apostle Paul and away from his ministry. Well, again, that's not the work or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Spirit, not only, as we mentioned, those three major works convicts us. We're born of the Spirit and then baptized into the body. But the Spirit is also said to have sealed us, reminding us that we belong to Christ, that we've been claimed by Him. And then, of course, that witness of the Spirit guarantees us that we are the authentic children of God and not counterfeits. So, again, we are living in an age much like the early church, when many false teachers and many false doctrines were being propagated. We are now living in a similar age, and it's so necessary that every believer has this anointing to be able to discern. Because again, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times many will depart from the faith, giving heed to what kind of spirits? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, this can only be discerned through the anointing that Christ has given to each believer. So we want to encourage you today, friends. We have an anointing. Every believer has an anointing. When believers are communicating and sharing the gospel, and the Spirit of God is, again, the one behind that communicating, that preaching, which is why it is always so vital for us to, again, trust the ministry of the Holy Spirit, wait on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, to lead us. We need Spirit-directed words, Spirit-directed service, Spirit-filled minds, so that we can communicate the very mind of God to others around us. So again, the Spirit of God has come. He has anointed each and every believer. That anointing, again, it will be different for each and every believer. The anointing is not the same for all believers, but it's the same Spirit. And remember, the same Spirit has the same goal and objective, which is what? To glorify Christ, to reveal Christ, and to make Him known through the lives of those who have yielded to His ministry. So thank God for the Holy Spirit's ministry today. And again, a Spirit-led, a Spirit-guided, a Spirit-filled life is absolutely essential. Because again, we don't want to find ourselves without discernment in the age, this present age in which we're living. Too many seducing spirits are in the atmosphere today. Too many false teachers, too much false doctrine. How can we discern? It's the Spirit that discerns. Again, those young people sitting in that church, as they prepared themselves for the message, I saw that they were able to discern that something wasn't quite right in the message. And I was so thrilled and actually so proud of them that they had such discernment. Many of them were ready to take notes. They put down their pens. They realized this isn't something that I want to record. This is something that I want to even remember. This isn't even something that I want to think about. Now, we didn't get up. We didn't leave. We didn't, you know, make a statement. We were just visiting this church. We were in another country. We were very respectful, but we were able to discern the difference between a message that liberates our souls, sets us free, breaks the yoke of bondage, and allows us to see very, very clearly who Christ is and to be able to discern exactly what his message is all about. So, Father, we pray that you would use these thoughts today and encourage our listeners with them and give each one of us, Lord, a spirit that is able to discern. You have given us the anointing. May we sense that anointing. May we acknowledge that anointing. May we live and function in that anointing. That's our prayer, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to The Grace Hour, coming to you live from Baltimore, our studio here at Greater Grace Church of Baltimore. We'd love to hear from you now. Just great thoughts from Pastor Love on the anointing. Spirit-guided, spirit-filled life. Is that something that's true of you? You got to have that discernment now more than ever. Living in the anointing, it's an important principle to have in terms of walking with Christ and walking in his spirit. 1-800-338-7060. Toll-free number. Use it. Please tell us what you're thinking. 410-483-3700. We can have a great conversation about this. We have one writer on Facebook Live saying, "Well said, Pastor Love. Absolutely true. Great word." And if you have a comment to make and post there, please do it. We want to see those comments so that we can talk about them. We want to talk about what you're talking about, what you want to hear. I think that's just like, you know, just when we think about the anointing, you can take that word and it gets like convoluted in some people's mind. But it really is such a powerful principle, especially when we consider the prophets and the kings and their anointings in the past. And, you know, just the proclamation that God said, like, "Touch not my anointed." Now, sure, someone could use that. You could get a man in a pulpit that's like out of order, and he's really like, you know, charging you from the pulpit. "You can't touch me. You can't touch me." But that's not what it means. God declared that when he's talking about his people, Israel, and God has always chosen people to present the truth to the age, whatever that age is. So, you know, when God says, "Touch not mine anointed," he says, "You got to be very careful about the people speaking for me," right?
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, there's a lot of confusion out there. And let me give this as an illustration, Pastor Steve. You know, the anointing is when the Spirit of God very clearly is involved, let's say, for instance, in the communication of the gospel message. And to use a great illustration, one that we could all understand and probably are aware of, Dr. Billy Graham.
Yes.
I mean, those messages were always anointed. Now, did he bring that subject up? Did he talk about that? Did he stop, you know, and say to the people that he was communicating to, "Now I'm under the..." He didn't have to. It was so evident. It was so clear because of the power of the message and the way the message was penetrating people's souls and revealing Christ to our hearts. I mean, it was obvious that his message, gospel message, was so anointed because it ended up having the power to draw people to Christ. That's when you know the Spirit's involved.
Yeah, we could see it right away. Acts chapter 2, the Spirit comes, Peter preaches. Now, we don't get a sense that Jesus, you know, had preaching classes so much, but we know that he sent them out, and I'm sure that they shared the message and the witness, but we know that the power of God was with Peter that day to share something, and the results speak for themselves. The number of people added to the church right then and there because of the message that Peter delivered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then let's take it. That's a, you know, Peter preached and he lived to preach another day. And then we also read in the book of Acts of a man who was very anointed, so anointed that his face glowed with the glory of God. They said he had a face like an angel. And he preached, and on that day, he preached his last message. That's Stephen, of course. And he had an effect that, you know, that enraged them. His message cut to the quick there. And, you know, we're saying like anointings can stimulate strong reactions in both directions.
Absolutely. In fact, one of his statements in the 7th chapter of Acts, the 51st verse, he said to the Jews that he was preaching to, he says, "You do always resist the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
So there it is. Mm. I mean, on the one hand, he's anointed of the Spirit, and under that anointing, he is telling those that were attempting to listen to him, you resist the Holy Spirit. We can't afford to do that. Hey, we have an important announcement that we have to share with our listeners today, don't we?
What's that? Oh.
We'll be coming off WRBS in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
You'll only be able to hear our broadcast for the next couple of weeks. The final day of broadcasting on WRBS will be Friday, February 25th. But we're not going anywhere.
Nope.
We're going to be live right here on the internet, gracehour.org, Facebook Live,
right,
YouTube Live. So you can make your plans now to transition over there, because we'll only be broadcasting here for a couple more weeks on WRBS.
Yep. And it's just, you know, it's kind of an interesting time, media-wise. We appreciate the great people at WRBS, really a history in Baltimore, Peter and John Radio Ministries, and I can remember listening to them when they did the program back in the early days of my Christianity, 1978, 79, and really, we just appreciate being a part of this media that has been there. It's kind of interesting. We know that I used to work for the Baltimore Sun papers, and we know that the Baltimore Sun paper is no longer printed in the environs of Baltimore. It moved its operation to Delaware for printing. So things change. We're going to be living here on the internet, and we just want to prepare you, friends. So make plans to stay with the Grace Hour as we go to an online. And all of you who have listened on the radio over the years, the decades, thank you so much. And especially thank you to the people and the staff at WRBS for helping us through these years. Two more weeks, friends. And today, so long, radio audience, for the day. Online, stay right where you are. And this is the Grace Hour online for another half an hour. We'd love to hear from you today at 1-800-338-7060. And at 410-483-3700. Call us, and share your comments, thoughts, wherever you are today. Post your comment. We got a comment from RG. "Wow, such a timely message on the anointing we each have. I've been recently blessed with a calling. I'm aware of my spirit-led discernment that this calling is anointed. Amen. Thank you." Yes, that's good.
Yeah,
I hope there's a lot of people like you, because we need anointed people to share the gospel right now. That's for sure. Right?
Yeah. And, you know, I go back to that, the passage in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. You know, when you know that you're under an anointing, or you're under an anointed message, when there's freedom, when there's rest. I mean, it breaks the yoke of bondage. And think about that. I think, under the New Testament economy, Jesus saying, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy." See, there's the difference. Christ doesn't give us a yoke of iron. He gives us a yoke that's easy. And we always like to mention along with that, some people have misinterpreted that Jesus was saying, "You're going to have an easy life." That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is that my yoke is easy. When you're yoked up together with me, there's not going to be this unnecessary burden that you're going to have to carry with you. Now, I want to qualify that. We will carry a burden for lost souls, a burden to reach those that have been blinded by the God of this world. So we do carry burdens, but they're God's burdens, and we carry them yoked up together with Christ. But that heavy burden, that's gone. that the anointing breaks that yoke, and we have this liberty, we have this freedom, not free to sin. That's not what we're teaching, and we never have and never will, but freedom to pursue God with all of our hearts and to do His will and to follow Him throughout the course of our lives.
You mentioned, like the anointing, and you mentioned these things that characterize an anointing, and that's, I think that's a, when you sense a leader is anointed, there's a grace about him. There's a, we use the word charisma to talk about a large personality or something. That seems to be the general idea when we hear that word. But really, the first part of that word is one of the Greek words, charis. And we know that, to be charismatic is to be really moved by grace. And that was a real point that you made in your message, is that the anointing is not a thing that we come to deserve. It's a thing that, you know, that is put upon us because of the grace of God. We could never earn it. We could never, ever earn it. And Saul and David, we know, anointed kings of Israel. And we know that Saul didn't earn it. How did he find his anointing? He was chasing after donkeys. Wasn't like he went through a leadership class and everything. He was not expecting at all to be made the king, and neither was David. David was not expecting at all to be anointed king, and he even thought less. It was like such a surprise to him that God was going to say, "This belongs to your family forever." It was such a surprise to him that God did that, and the anointing comes not by our own efforts. The anointing comes because the Holy Spirit wants to make us, like you said, discerning, give us a sense of character, and also, give us a courage, I think, right?
Oh,
people who are anointed have a courage. Stephen had courage because he was anointed. He wasn't an apostle, but he was a deacon, and he was serving, and he was preaching, serving and preaching, serving and preaching. And that anointing was upon him, and that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing to think about the courage that God could give you through an anointing. But I think today, more than ever, the anointing is so important for believers, especially whatever kind. It's a good question. There's a lot of messages out there related to the Bible, and what kind of discernment do you have about what you're receiving? Because some messages would say that if you're even the tiny bit sick, you have lost the Holy Spirit or something like that. Maybe that's not so prevalent nowadays. Or if you really had the Holy Spirit, you would have a large bank account and be driving a Tesla, or the Tesla would be driving you, right? Isn't that the self-driving car?
That's
yes,
right.
Tesla. Kind of scary. And anyway, I think I'd use a Tesla if I could go over the Bay Bridge. That way I wouldn't have to drive myself. That'd be kind of awesome. Anyway, but it's, when you think about discernment and just the need for discernment, like never before has there, I don't know. I mean, just because of the outlandish, overwhelming nature of information, if you don't have discernment, wow. Right?
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. You could be blown about by every wind of doctrine today, because those winds come fast and furious. You know, when you think of the anointing, I think you mentioned it, but Jesus, of course, he was anointed. And when he spoke in the synagogue for the very first time, his hometown, Nazareth, it says that they delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And then he quotes from Isaiah, what we now know, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That is one gracious message. Just think about it. The poor, those that are poverty-stricken in their hearts, get the gospel, the good news. The brokenhearted, they get healed. Deliverance comes to the captives. The blind, spiritually speaking, are given their sight And in the case of Jesus, some that literally were blind got their sight. And liberty, set at liberty those that are bruised. And then to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then it says, and it closed the book. He gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And someone might say, why? Because he was anointed.
Yeah.
I mean, that. And then he said, of course, unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they bear him witness and wondered, here it is, at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. I mean, right there tells you, like you said, you know that you're discerning the message when it's gracious in its nature, when it has the power to bring you to a Christ that is going to heal you, bring deliverance, give you sight, set you at liberty.
It's amazing. And that's, that message when Jesus presented that and said, this message has been fulfilled before you. It's like, this answers a big question. This answers a big question because, you know, people are questioning the self, what's the right word, the self-knowledge or the self-essence of Jesus. Like, did Jesus really know who he was as the Son of God? And I think this really answers it. Two things answer it. When he's 12 and he's in the temple, questioning and asking questions of the religious teachers, and his mother finds him, son, why did you grieve us this way by getting lost? He said, didn't you know I had to be about my father's business or in my father's house? And then he's saying this also, a group of people who watched him grow up, he's saying, I'm the anointed one. And it's not like, you know, like all those things that he said that the anointed one came to show himself to the poor, the brokenhearted, blind, those things, the liberty, setting liberty and preaching, like all of those things are so powerful about that. And then he said, this is being fulfilled in your sight. It's like that was a shock to them. And they weren't ready for it. They wanted to cast him off the hill that time. So
it doesn't sound like there were any burdens that he was placing on these people.
No.
It sounds like, if anything, I'm here to lift and to take away all of those burdens. I'm here to break the yoke of bondage.
Yeah.
And he did it through being spirit-led, spirit-filled, the anointing. He said it. He says, the Spirit of God is upon me, and he has anointed me.
Maybe that's something that we could talk about, is like, you know, we know this idea of familiarity, and if you have an understanding of the anointing and the discernment, you won't be so familiar. Like these people from Nazareth who listened to Jesus talk in their synagogue, they couldn't believe that this was the fulfillment of what was before them. They just couldn't, no way, absolutely not. The carpenter's son, Mary, they weren't even married when she was pregnant with him. Come on. It's like that. But then when we read in the Gospel of John, I think it is, right? They sent temple guards to arrest Jesus, and they come back without him, and they're going, what? Where's Jesus? And the guy said, no one ever spoke like he spoke. And you just think about it, like an anointed preacher preaches to one crowd. The crowd does not sense the anointing, and they're ready to throw him off the cliff. And here's the other one, commissioned to arrest, Roman authorities connected to the temple, swords and clubs, they can go and drag him off, but they couldn't because the word of God stopped him. Nobody ever talked like this guy talked. And I think that's the big thing about the anointing. When there's a response like that, no one has ever talked like Jesus talked. And that's the thing. Like, we don't want to be familiar about it. Here are two groups of people, one familiar with who Jesus is, and the other, they heard what Jesus said, and they said, no one talks like this. We can't even believe it. Well, we do have, read Tess's comment here and then take our first call today. Tess says, the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts and produces fruit, love, peace, joy, and we cannot possibly manufacture this fruit in our own strength, but supernaturally manufactured by him who guides us and keeps us in all our ways. And Thea said, beautiful message on the anointing. When a message is anointed, you receive it. It's possible that others may not see it and receive the anointing. That's true. People in the same crowd could not get it. That's true. Well, friends, we're coming to you live from Baltimore, and we have our first caller. She's in Baltimore. This is Oretta. Oretta, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor Steve and Pastor Love. What a message. Pastor Love and Pastor Steve, when you're born from above and you're born again, the Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit teaches you. You are sensitive. Your spiritual ear is wide awake. Your inner spirit is wide awake. And everything you hear, the scriptures, you when you search the scriptures daily, and someone come to you with something different than the scriptures, or even try to twist the scriptures, right away the scripture come to you with God's word. That's not true. And then the scripture come to you, so the person won. We have a friend dying in St. Croix this week. She was head of the human services home. And we used to have some, when I tell you, Andrew believes she went to heaven. I tell Andrea, no. Number one, for you to go to heaven, you have to be born again. And this is no joke. You have to be sure. The Holy Spirit has to be indwell you, and you have to speak just what the scripture says. Anything else, you cannot add Pastor Love and Pastor Steve, no take away. Mm. And that's a fact. Mm. Oh, yeah, you have to speak the same thing. Because the Spirit indwell you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used to come upon you. Now he indwell you. When you're born again, the Spirit indwell you. So you will give, and give you that discerning spirit. You don't shoot from error. So as soon as somebody open them out, and you hear them talking, no matter how they try to dress it up and cover it up, right away the Holy Spirit can let you know that's not you.
Mm. I mean, the Holy Spirit gives us that ability to discern. We have to discern the messages, as we said.
That's right.
Paul writing to Timothy, talking about these seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. We see this happening today in churches everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't believe our friend went to heaven after Andrea. We had a big argument in the morning before we went to church the morning. I said, Andrea, let me tell you something. Number one, you have to be born from above. Keep it in your heart. You have to be born from above. You remember what Jesus told Nicodemus tonight when he came to him?
Yep, he said,
you must be born again. I tell her, well, you figure she went to heaven? And the doctrine? I say, trust me. I say, I could drop dead right now, but I know where I'm going. Heaven is my home. I tell my daughter, Sunday morning, we were going to together. I say, Andrew, heaven is my home, see? And if I die tomorrow, you put me on the earth. You don't have to put me in a coffin. I know where I'm going. I'm going to be raised in the first resurrection. When Jesus comes in the ears to call me home, I'll be changed instantly. And I'm in my glorified body to meet him in the ear. What I die before, I'll rapture the church. That's where I'm heading. And I have to tell my children every day and warn them every day. No matter how close to somebody is and hear them talking, come to you with lies. You have to discern. You don't quick to join them and believe everything they tell you. I said, no. You search the scriptures. God bless you all. You all have a blessed day. Love you all, Pastor and Pastor Steve.
Thanks,
all
right. Oretta.
Thank you, Oretta. You're listening to The Grace Hour, coming to you live from Baltimore online here, 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. Those are the numbers to use if you want to be a part of the conversation today here on The Grace Hour. Pastor, you have something?
I'm thinking that Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he made an interesting statement in the final chapter, Romans 16, verse 17. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have received, and avoid them. For they are such as serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own desires, and by good words and fair speeches are able to deceive the hearts of the simple." I mean, how is it possible that you're going to be able to discern them and be able to mark them? And when it says to mark them, I mean, it's another way of just saying, just stay clear of them, you know, avoid them at all costs, because they're walking contrary to the doctrine which you've received. So how are you going to be able to do that without the anointing of the Spirit.
True.
You're going to find yourself victimized. I mean, someone said to me today, one of our pastors was visiting from another state, and he said that they had a meeting, and they had a great turnout in the southern part of the country. And a gentleman was there, and he said, this was so great. He said, for the first time in a long time, this is the first time I've been to a church meeting where I haven't gotten beat up.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's a powerful statement, but I'm afraid that so many people attend churches or ministries, and that's all that happens to them is that they get beat up. I seriously doubt that the anointing of the Spirit is present under those conditions.
Yeah, the anointing takes on various forms, but I think you're right. I would say that, you know, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, this is the message that is always has to be an emphasis at some point in these conversations, right? I mean, like if you're beating people over the head with the word of God, it's like there's, you know, can you, I guess there are, yes, there are anointings of exhortation. That's for sure. Anointings of exhortation can be a part of a church service. And, you know, we used to hear Pastor Stevens talk about stop in the middle and say that the Holy Spirit was showing him something about somebody in the audience, which is like a terrifying thing, I'm thinking, but he never abused that kind of thing. And he never like named names. But he would say, someone over to my left is really wrestling with, you know, a spirit of pornography or something like that. And it's like, and like somebody said, well, that could be a lot of people. Okay. All right. You're right. It could be a lot of people. I'm sorry. But this was like very specific and other things, you know, talking about specific situations. And really, we those things were tested, you know, those things were tested, and God revealed that those gifts of discernment that were given during the point in time. But you're right. If you are coming to services and you're getting beat up all the time, it's like Jomi, his thing here, reading Job 19 today, Job could discern that the counselors were miserable friends. They were not anointed in their counsel. And then he starts speaking anointed words and prophesies that his Redeemer lives and, yeah, that he would see Christ in the flesh. That's amazing.
Mm. Imagine if he listened to those friends.
Wow. Mean,
and really, you know, took to heart everything that they said. He would have been a wretch. Just, I mean, he would have gone from a miserable condition to, Lord, just take me out because, you know, my friends are telling me that all of this is happening because of my sin.
And he discerned that, you know, I mean, the thing that they were telling him to do was like basically pretend, like, you know, make up something. And those of us who grew up in a certain orientation and we went to confessionals, we made up stuff.
That's right.
We dare not tell the truth because they knew who we were, because they knew who we were on the other side of the screen. It's
That's right.
You know, I disobeyed my parents. I lied. I started a fire in the forest. No, I'm not going to tell them that one because I could get arrested about that. But, you know, anyway. We got a couple of calls. We're going to go to Rick first. I guess he's in Las Vegas. Rick, I'm sorry. Rick, you're on the air.
All right. Well, good morning from Las Vegas, although I know it's afternoon there. But good morning to Pastor Andrew Lonis and Pastor Love.
Morning.
Hey.
I just wanted to give report because, you know, it's an anointed message you're speaking on this morning. And just yesterday, I was anointed. Pastor Perkins gave me a license to preach, which is, I know, no substitute for Maryland Bible College and Seminary, but ordination. But, you know, we all have a calling to spread the gospel and to be recognized by a powerful man of God like Pastor Perkins is a great honor and anointing. But I wanted to speak to discernment. You know, out here in Las Vegas, it's a very challenging place. People are so distracted, and it is definitely, the devil's stronghold. So some time ago, a couple years ago, I felt like the Lord was calling me to try to reach out to other ministries to find a way to co-labor together in outreach, in efforts to, you know, just increase the kingdom, if you will. And, you know, I started checking out this other church. One of the, their bands came to our church one time and played. And I thought, well, very, very spirit-filled worship. Let me go check out this other church. So I did. And, you know, I've been going ever since. I'm not, you know, still going to our Greater Grace Church, of course, on Sundays faithfully. But the discernment that, you know, spirit-filled discernment that I had was recognizing so many faithful believers there and their willingness to serve. And that was very inspiring. And so I felt like I was in the right place. And the message coming from the pulpit was important because, you know, I felt, all right, the message is good. It's consistent with what, you know, I feel I believe. But recently, I've been made aware through this discernment that, you know, the words might have been true all along, but simply quoting the Bible and things like this, if you're not living, if the person giving those words isn't quite living by those words and whatnot, that raises an eyebrow. And a lot of those people there in that congregation had discernment and had to back off. They had warned this person, and they backed out, and in fact felt very, I guess, betrayed by, you know, the church leadership there. Some of them were falling away. In fact, one was a gentleman that is now our worship leader here at Greater Grace World Outreach Church in Vegas. And what a blessing it is to have them. But to think that this gentleman would have given up on a lifelong mission of worship and playing worship music because they had been so church hurt, if you will. Anyway, this has become a very much a lifeline now that folks who have fallen away from that church have found a faith family with us. Their discernment, you know, I mean, it's a shame. You know, last week you were talking about foundations. Where do the righteous go when there's no firm foundation? So anyways.
It's good.
Just your thoughts.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we can sense that. And I think, you know, God is in control and he will reveal that. And, you know, churches, you know, people will leave if they're if the message is not edifying to them and the Holy Spirit is not bearing witness to us. Thanks, Rick, for your call. I want to go to Dundalk right now and take Mary's call. We just have about 5 minutes left in the program. Mary, you're on the air.
Okay, I'll just tell you a little bit of it. But my sister-in-law in Florida, Tampa, she didn't realize, but the Holy Spirit had got her ready for something that she didn't know. But she had been praying, glorifying God, holding her arms up in the air, singing and glorifying him for 2 days. She couldn't figure out what was going on, but she just glorified him. And like she was in the throne room of God, she didn't know. But anyhow, 2 days later, her grandson was in his bed dead.
Oh, wow.
The Holy Spirit will warn you, tell you, he'll get you ready. You don't know what is going on, but he does.
That's true. Wow.
And God is so good.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was like when she was driving down the road, it was like because she was praying again, and it was like feathers or something on her hood of her car that she seen these things, and she knew that her grandson was okay, and she had peace within her.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you, Mary. That's a great story.
Thank you all. Love you all.
Yeah, have a great afternoon, Mary. All right. Awesome. What do you think, Pastor Love?
Well, get back to Rick's comments. You know, you can so appreciate that, you know, he was in a place where, and I think someone says, well, do certain people get the gift of discernment? I think God can, through his Spirit, give a gift of discernment to some people, but all believers are called upon by God to exercise spiritual discernment. Now, how? Well, spiritual discernment comes into our souls in the measure that we take the Word of God into our hearts. And I think that that's a principle that's spoken about in the book of Hebrews, and I'll just turn over there and read that verse. just so that we get it right for our listeners. I believe it's in Hebrews, the 5th chapter. Verse 12 says, For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again of the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk, not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, and he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their spiritual senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you can see that every believer has that responsibility to exercise discernment. It's not just a gift given to some, although some may have, as we said, a particular bona fide gift of discernment, but all believers will have discernment, and the measure of that discernment is determined upon how often and how much of the Word of God we take into our souls.
Yeah, it's a sharpening process.
Absolutely.
Right? Like any knife you have in your drawer, at some point it might get dull and it needs to be sharpened, and coming to a Spirit-led assembly, getting into the Word of God, you're right, just exercising your faculties, the capacity God has given you to receive the Word of God and to have that Word of God to be active in teaching you how to think with Him. So that's a great thing. That's just a great, exercising your spirituality there. And Ged makes a great point here. He says, I sought to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. And Paul would deliver an anointed message because he was not trusting in any other knowledge that he may know. And I think that line that Paul is saying is that, that when I'm preaching to a church full of people who are believing, they are Christ because they are born again. And if I'm preaching on the street to someone, that's Christ crucified, because he was crucified for every person that it was. I think that's the thing that, that you want to have in your mind, right? And
absolutely,
that's guiding your conversation. Well, friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast today. We want to thank you for being a part of the Grace Hour. For Pastor Love, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Our engineer today has been Sebastian Palmieri. We want to thank you for the anointing on your lives, and that anointing encouraged you to tune in and be a part of the broadcast today. We'll be back again tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the U.S. Pastor Love will be here. And remember, all week we're talking about the principle of the anointing, the Holy Spirit's active work in our lives. Yes, discernment. You can get some this week. Pay attention, get some discernment. Thank you, friends. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.